and welcome to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Jan Yingling. She is the Vice President of Operations at Yingling, and she's speaking to us today from the brewery floor. So you are actually making beer today?
We are making beer today. We definitely are. We make beer Monday through Friday, and in the summertime, we sometimes go into Saturdays as well. So based out of Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
And you've been based out of Pottsville, Pennsylvania for a long time. Let's talk about the history of Yingling. Are you the oldest continuing operating brewery in the country?
Yeah, Yingling is the oldest operating brewery continuously in the country, and we're also family owned. We were founded in 1829 by a young German immigrant, David Yingling. He landed in Baltimore, made his way up into the coal mining area here in central Pennsylvania, where there must have been a lot of thirsty miners in those days. And he established his brewery here in 1829.
Was he a brewer when he got here, or did he just pick that up?
Yeah, he was a brewer. He came from Wartenberg, Germany. And we found out he was the youngest of his siblings, and his father was also a brewer. So he realized his place in the family ancestry line to inherit the brewery in Germany was pretty slim because he was the youngest. So he brought his brewing experience here to America.
Does a Yingling grow up knowing that there is a place for them making beers?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, my sisters and I are sixth generation, and we've just, the more the years go on, the more we appreciate what our ancestors before us have accomplished. And we've all been exposed to the business in different areas. We all work here on a full-time basis, and we've each gravitated to different areas of the business, too. So we work alongside our father, who's the fifth generation owner, Richard Yingling. But we work very well together, I think, because we've each found our kind of niche that we work in.
Each of the sisters have gone into a different area?
That's correct. Yeah. So I work in operations. I try and be as hands-on as I possibly can, work with our wholesalers with their orders. I do our production scheduling. And my sister Wendy works in administration, sales and marketing. Debbie is our employee engagement person. And then Cheryl works in order services and does some IT work.
Now, what about the next generation, number seven there? Any interest? Any of them on yet?
Not so much. No, they're teenagers and younger at this point. So we've learned that as a family business, it's important to find that balance of exposing the business to the next generation, but not being too pushy with it. So I know with our families, we're very conscious of that.
Well, we're going to talk about one of your initiatives in just a few minutes here called Cheers PA. But if you've been in business since 1829, you've weathered a heck of a lot of storms. We're in what we think of as an unprecedented time. But this brewery, it's seen a lot over the years. Multiple depressions, the Great Depression, and I would guess the worst thing that your industry could even imagine, Prohibition. How did you manage to survive all of that?
Yeah, so a lot of our culture is based off of the perseverance and resiliency that our ancestors have shown before us. Civil wars, the two world wars, Great Depression, and Prohibition that a lot of folks forget was a long 13 years. So we really had to diversify during those years.
And you really did. What happened? And so 13, and honestly, I didn't realize that it was a full 13 years. I thought that it was just a little blip. But that's a huge chunk of time there. 13 years, what did Yingling do? Would that be the third generation at that point?
That's correct. Yeah, it was the third generation, Frank Yingling. And, you know, he wanted to keep his workers employed, first and foremost. So we started making near beer. It was one half of 1% alcohol. It was absolutely legal in those days. But then he diversified also as he built a dairy across the street from what we refer to as our historic brewery in Pottsville. So he built this dairy and he started making ice cream and milk products throughout the community. And that stayed in business till 1985.
Wow. So now, if you're the oldest in the United States, are there... Now, I'm going to admit I am totally ignorant of the industry. Are you part of a national or... a World Trade Organization, and there's a question in there. Just go find it, okay?
Okay, I got you. I can follow up on that. Certainly, there's a global beer industry, no doubt, and there's millions and millions of barrels of beer produced every year. So we really consider ourselves a regional brewery here in the United States, where we brew just over 2.5 million barrels every year, and we're based. We have a 22-state footprint, primarily along the Eastern Seaboard.
Really, is that all?
That's all. It's taken us 190 years to get to 22 states.
You know what? That didn't sound right when I said, is that all? But before we began our conversation today, I said, well, you know, gosh darn it, I'm from the Midwest, and I grew up surrounded by Shaneling Little King. And if you're in Denver, obviously you grew up on Coors. And they become sort of like this mystique. There's a mystique to those brands, and people lust after them. And anyone comes to visit the area, the first thing they say is, we got to hit the bar and have a Yingling.
I think we have a little bit of that mystique and that cult following. And when we started our huge growth trajectory in the late 80s and early 90s, it was when our dad, fifth generation owner, came on board, and he introduced the brand Lager, which obviously is our flagship today and is what we're primarily known for. So he introduced this Lager brand, and at that point, we may have been in a handful of states, five or six.
I thought that Lager had been one of the original names. You have imprinted that so strongly on me. I just assumed that Lager was there all along.
Yeah, so many times, especially within our mid-Atlantic footprint, especially Philadelphia, Delaware area, consumers go into a bar and they would ask for a lager. Pretty good chance they're going to get a Yingling. It became synonymous.
That's called great branding. And so today, did you ever think that people would be craving a Yingling and looking forward to getting out here to have one? Because I thought your name is so well known, I'd assume that you were sold farther west, that you were available, you know, past the Mississippi.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the growth we've had, and it's been very methodical. Part of our business model is that slow, methodical growth, and many of our expansion states have gone through contiguous states. So we do a lot of word of mouth marketing and advertising, and so eventually we grew. We built a second brewery here in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, and then we also purchased an old Stroh brewery in Tampa, Florida, back in the early 2000s. So it enabled us to meet the demand from consumers and yet have the additional capacity.
2.5 million is just that makes you almost a, I don't want to say a craft beer, but 2.5 million sounds like a heck of a lot, but there's a lot of beer being drunk. Some of the national mass producers, they can pump that out in like a minute. Is this to keep the quality control of the Yingling, the taste?
Yeah. So we definitely pride ourselves on making quality beer. Again, I don't know that any industry or any business is going to be around for 190 years if they don't make a quality product. But it's also logistics too. We knew we wanted to open some of the southern states. So when we purchased that brewery in Tampa, it enabled us to open additional markets. 2.5 million barrels, we are rated as the nation's top craft brewery, which is a great honor. We're really happy to have that distinction.
You know, you mentioned in the Prohibition how Frank tried to keep his workers on the job, and he diversified for that. So you are a big employer in the Pottstown region, aren't you? I mean, you're a big industry there.
Yeah, we're a pretty significant employer here in Pottsville. We operate our two breweries. We have roughly 40 workers in our, again, historic Pottsville plant. And then our new brewery, which is about 20 years old now, we have about 60 employees. And we have a sales force who's obviously within that footprint, feet on the ground within our 22 states. And then we have our workers in Tampa, Florida.
And of course, you don't just impact your workers and your sales force. You have all of those retailers, the bars and the restaurants that rely on your product.
Yeah. So the way the beer industry works in the United States is it's called the three-tier system. So you have the supplier, which is obviously us, the brewer, down to the wholesaler. So we sell directly to a wholesaler. So in our 22-state footprint, we have a wholesaler designated for different territories. And then the wholesaler goes down to the retail level. So retail could be on-premise accounts, which would be bars and restaurants, venues. And then there's off-premise accounts like grocery stores, liquor stores, chains, and things like that.
How's it impacting the industry?
Well, the industry itself is we're seeing a huge slowdown in draft beer sales because obviously a majority of quarter barrels, half barrels, sixtels are sold in bars and restaurants. So with all of those being shut down for the last several weeks, we've found that what we've had to do is really be nimble and pivot from an operational standpoint. So we have not produced very many kegs for draft beer, but we've seen a huge increase in our packaged product demands, particularly the bigger packs like 24-pack cans and bottles. So you're seeing more of that in the off-premise, and consumers are obviously drinking at home.
Is this a national? I mean, is this what's happening to the industry in general?
It is. I think that's a pretty broad perspective, and the way most breweries are having to kind of pivot and you know, change up their operating and their packaging lines over the last 2 months.
Is the industry that nimble? Because I know that the dairy industry in particular is suffering because so much milk was sold in bulk, and then suddenly they cannot go to the residential or to the consumer level with their product.
Yeah, we've been real fortunate that we can just, you know, we have our workforce already on site, and it's just a matter of piping that beer instead of going into kegs. We work with our vendors and our suppliers, and fortunately, they've been just as flexible to get us our packaging materials that we need to run more cans and bottles.
And you push 2.5 million barrels a year.
We do. We produce 2.5 million barrels a year out of our three breweries, and we make both bottles, cans and kegs, half barrels and quarter barrels.
Well, before we get into the restaurant industry and the bar industry, let's talk a little bit about what do you have? Because you did surprise me when you said that lager is only celebrating its, 40th year?
Yeah, that it was introduced in the late 80s by my dad. So we've got a great portfolio, and we, you know, we like to pride ourselves on our portfolio being full of sessionable beers, a brand for every style drinker. So we refer to our core brands, lager, light lager, black and tan, and golden pilsner. Golden pilsner is our newest. It was our first newest year-round brand in 17 years, and that's come out for 2 years now. We're cycling into our second summer with that. We have just introduced an upscale light beer called Flight, low carb, 2.6 grams of carbs, 4.2% ABV alcohol, and the calories hit at about 95. So unfortunately, that rollout came right at the beginning of this COVID-19 pandemic. So we've had a little bit of a, you know, a setback with that, but we hope to do a relaunch this summer.
Are you always looking at consumer information? I mean, are you looking at the tastes or what the others are doing? Because as a regional brewer, you want to be in there for the long run, not some fad, right?
That's right. And we refer to it as smart innovation on our part. We, you know, we work off of scale and volume. It's the way we have our operating line set up. But to your point, we do need to listen to consumers. And there's so much competition in the beer industry today. I know when my dad started in 1985, when he came back into the industry, there were 137 brewers. Today, there's over 7,000. So the competition has just grown tremendously, and it's fierce out there.
But I'm going to guess that you actually know this. Of those thousands, how many will actually make it 5 years, 10 years? I think we all know about the corner guy who opens up a brewery, restaurant kind of a situation, and they just don't make the cut. They just don't survive.
Yeah, I think a big part of that is you have to make good beer. You know, having a good quality product is first and foremost. And unfortunately, right now, with these times that we're going through and with the on-premise accounts virtually being shut down over the last 7-8 weeks, it's going to be difficult for some of the smaller brewers, ones that don't have that size and scale. It's going to be real hard for them, I think, to come out of this.
What about the next generation of brewers? Now, I asked you earlier about your generation, the seventh one, and they're a little bit young right now. But is beer, is that a career to consider? Is that a great industry to join?
Oh, I would highly recommend getting involved in the beer industry. And we've partnered with the Pink Boots Society for the last couple of years. And what it is it's for women who are in the brewing industry or who are interested in getting in the beer industry. It's networking, it's scholarships, it's schooling, it's education. So for the last 2 years, we have sponsored a scholarship for a woman brewer to do online courses and training to become more well-versed as a brewer. So that's one of the community platforms that we like to support.
Hey, if you're just joining us today, this is Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from one of D.G. Yuengling & Son Incorporated family breweries, a sixth-generation Pennsylvania brewer, Jan Yuengling. She is the Vice President of Operations for Yuengling, and we're talking to her today by Zoom, as she is at Yuengling right now, where they are making beer. If you'd like more information about Yuengling and a new program that is called Cheers PA, just go to their website. Yuengling.com, Yuengling.com. And I know you sell merchandise there, don't you? T-shirts and all kinds of things.
Yeah, we sell T-shirts, apparel, glassware. We've got a great tour and gift shop. So once things open back up within the state of Pennsylvania, I would invite everyone to come visit us.
And you're located in Pottsville and down in Florida, but somebody can actually visit the brewery?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, we're actually offering curbside beer deliveries for the time being. And then once we're able to open back up, we have tours daily, Monday through Saturday. Check out our website for times. And we have a sampling room, tasting room, where we sell beer, growlers, and you're welcome to come up and have a pint and enjoy with us.
And, of course, we can't wait for all of this mess to end. And you're keeping your workers there, but you have to be worrying about the retailers and the bars, the restaurants. I just saw the Beard Foundation said that of the restaurateurs alone, they thought that only 20% of them were going to survive this terrible period right now. And, you know, most of our neighborhoods are known by their taverns and by their bars. It's part of our everyday life. And how is this? What are you seeing as somebody who's in the industry?
Yeah, it's devastating, and our hearts really go out to a lot of these on-premise accounts, the wait staff, the bartenders, and that's why it was very important for us to partner up with Aaron Nola, who is our brand ambassador with the Philadelphia Phillies, and start this Cheers PA, where 100% of the proceeds will go to the Hospitality Assistance Response of Pennsylvania, so that we can help them through these difficult times.
How does the program work?
So how it works, consumers can go on our website, yingling.com/cheerspa. They can make a donation. This is a virtual fundraising site. And then they can also sign up for a chance to win different memorabilia from the Philadelphia Phillies, Philadelphia Eagles, pitching clinic with Aaron Nola, even a visit to the brewery and lunch.
And you know what? I didn't even think to ask. Yingling and Philadelphia sports. That's a relationship that goes back a long way.
Yeah, well, Philadelphia really helped put us on the map back in the late 80s, early 90s. They were one of the first cities kind of in our backyard that's really started supporting our brands, both our Black and Tan and our lager, and has been instrumental in helping us achieve the growth that we have.
And you've been with the Phillies for a while, haven't you?
We have. We've had a great partnership with the Phillies over the last couple of years. And having Aaron Nola on board, he just really embodies a lot of the same spirit that we have, that hard work ethic, that grit, that perseverance. And he's supportive of the local communities here in Pennsylvania as well.
How did you make the relationship there?
Well, my dad and I and my sisters, we've always been lifelong Phillies fans. And we hit it off. And it's a great partnership with the with the ballpark and with Aaron. So we hope to keep this going for years to come.
And that relationship has paid off with some really great items for Cheers PA. You got a dinner with Phillies legend Larry Boa, and that's in the executive dining room. A chance to dance with a fanatic, and that's just the Phillies. So we make a donation, and then how are the funds going to be used? And what's in it for a donor? You've got some great incentives there, too.
Yeah, so the funds go 100% directly to HARP, the HARP program, to any worker who's been furloughed or may have lost their job. And then they automatically get signed up to win any of those pieces of memorabilia. It could be clothing items, could be a trip to the brewery, could be a ceremonial first pitch for when the Philadelphia Phillies are back in action.
How did you come up with the idea for Cheers PA?
Yeah, so Cheers PA, any on-premise restaurant bars, any of their employees who have been impacted, they're part of the whole supply chain that affects us as a supplier all the way through to the consumer. So to us, it was just so important to be able to give back to not only the community, but that section of the community that's part of that whole cycle of having a beer, within this world.
And so you're just sitting around the kitchen table one night and...
Yeah, well, we've got our great partnership with Aaron, too. So I think with his, ability to want to work as far as community engagement, this just seemed like a great mix for us.
And this Cheers PA is just part of what Yingling has been doing, right? I mean, you've donated product to local hospital workers, and you've already made a commitment of $150,000 to HARP and to TAPS and to the Gary Sinise Foundation. And I only know that foundation from his work with veterans. What is this?
Yeah, so we're also partnering with the Gary Sinise Foundation, and we've woven that into our whole corporate social responsibility platform as we come through this COVID-19. And the Gary Sinise Foundation is they're instrumental in providing personal protective equipment to first responders. And we've got some funds going in their direction as well.
And you've always been a part of the community, haven't you?
Oh, we have. We've had such a longstanding, strong relationship with our Pottsville community. We have different events throughout the year. Last summer, we had a summer concert to celebrate our 190th anniversary. Every spring, we have what's called the Light Lager Jogger, which is a 5K run. So we've been hosting that for the last 6 years or so. So we're excited to come through this and get back to supporting our community even more and having a beer with everybody.
You've told me that the industry has shown remarkable resilience to this time.
The resiliency, obviously, first and foremost, and just the pride that I have in our employees, too. It's been a tough couple of months, and we've weathered this storm. We've been extremely fortunate to weather this storm so well, and the resiliency of our employees and having them come into work every day. And we're busy. We recognize that we're one of those fortunate industries that remains life sustaining, and we're appreciative of the fact that we can help give back to those that have been impacted. The bar staff and waitresses that from the on-premise accounts that we can assist with the Cheers PA.
I had asked you about the industry earlier. I'm going to guess then that you do have a strong lobbying force that you all share common interests.
Yeah, we're part of that within the state of Pennsylvania. It's called the Brewers of Pennsylvania. So along with many other breweries within and across the state, we are a member of that group.
So now let's get back to beer. What's on tap? What are you planning?
So Flight is what we talked about earlier. It's our upscale light beer. We're super excited to get it out into consumers' hands. So it's initially available only in bottles. So we will have a 16-ounce can rolling out for the summer months, which is great for outdoor activities, boating, within the refreshment category, along the same lines as our Golden Pilsner, which is also a refreshing style beer.
How are consumers getting beer right now? Are we seeing a move back to bottles or cans? And when you talk about relaunching Flight after all of this mess is over, do you see a change in how we're consuming it?
Well, I think what consumers are doing right now, they're obviously consuming more packaged product, bottles and cans. They may be obtaining that through their grocery stores, liquor stores, retail stores, and even e-commerce. I think we're seeing a bit of a jump there, too. But it'll be interesting to see once we come out of this, how quickly consumers will get back to going to on-premise accounts and bars and restaurants and how comfortable they'll feel. So again, we skew pretty highly towards draft beer in that business, but we also recognize we need to be prepared. If consumers aren't comfortable drinking a draft beer, they may want a bottle or a can, and we'll have that package available to them.
Well, now you mentioned visiting, but you mentioned growlers. I didn't even realize you offered them. Any other special items?
Yeah, so our growler sales, we started that last year. So we have consumers come on site and they're able to purchase a growler, bring their own in. We have all of our brands available. And then we do some seasonal brands as well. We'll have an Oktoberfest coming out in late July. And then we follow that up after our first ever collaboration last year with Hershey. We have a Hershey chocolate porter. So we're excited to say that that'll be available again this fall.
Ooh, any other special plans coming?
That's enough to keep us busy, I think, for the rest of the year.
Well, Jan, parting words? We get it all in.
I think we covered everything that's working in our world today. Just really looking forward to our world's all getting back to normal and everybody having a beer together one more time.
Oh, that's a great ender. I can't top that, obviously. Jan, our best wishes to you, and thanks for Cheers PA. And you heard it. Now through June 19th, fans can go to cheerspa@yuengling.com, or you can use also Pledge It or Cameo, and you can help provide much needed relief to the Pennsylvania hospitality workers now when they need it. And for you, you get a chance to enter for once in a lifetime experiences or signed memorabilia from some of the great supporters, including that Aaron Nola signed Yuengling memorabilia. You can attend a pitching clinic with him, or he'll visit your little league team. They've got signed memorabilia from Philadelphia Phillies players, Bryce Harper, too, Reese Hoskins, et cetera, plus autographed items from Philadelphia Eagles player Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz. And if you're a Pittsburgh fan, well, you can't help everything. They have stuff, they've got stuff from Penguins, the Pittsburgh Penguins players, and Steelers player James Conner, tickets to see and meet the Roots, even a trip to Las Vegas, and it's all there, details at yingling.com. All donations to Cheers PA will go directly toward HARP to help provide immediate emergency funding to Pennsylvania bartenders and wait staff impacted by COVID-19. So, Jan.
Thank you for having me, Laura. It's been very pleasant, and I hope you have a great day.
Hey, you too. And I can't wait to take some. I have out-of-town guests supposedly coming, and they are beer drinkers, and I know they're going to want to sit down and order a Yangling or a Youngling. And, of course, for more information about Cheers PA and how you can help, go to yingling.com/CheersPA. That's yingling.com. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.